The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
We're joined now by Bel True, the Chief International Correspondent of The Independent. Bel, overnight we had Israel seizing control of the Rafah border crossing. Why is that so significant?
Well, Rafah, for a start, is a border city in the south of Gaza, and it is a moment housing about 1.4 million Palestinians, most of them displaced from other parts of the devastated strip. Rafah is described by UN officials I've been speaking to as basically an artery for aid coming not only into the south of Gaza, but the whole of the Gaza Strip. So the taking control of it has basically stopped any aid from coming into Gaza. It's also seen families had to flee the area after Israel issued evacuation orders. I've been talking to families who had to basically run for their lives. They described grabbing food belongings, their tents, running, getting horse carts, taking tractors and trucks to try and find any areas to go to. Israel said that they have basically have a humanitarian zone, they've called it, with increased field hospitals and tents. But from everyone I'm talking to on the ground, that doesn't seem to be the case. And there are deep concerns of further evacuations, more people fleeing, and also, of course, the devastating impact on the humanitarian response if aid isn't able to get in.
When Israel began its assault on Gaza in retaliation for the Hamas atrocities of October 7th, didn't it tell people to head south that they would be safe there? So isn't it guilty effectively of herding the population into an area that it's now essentially evading itself again?
So everyone I've spoken to in terms of the families and the ground in Rafah have been displaced multiple times, often on these evacuation orders. So I was just literally talking to one woman who, this is her fifth time to be displaced, and she said she was looking for a patch of ground to pitch her tents. Israel has defended itself, saying that it issues evacuation orders, and there's the calm and sort of safe, orderly evacuation of people into different areas. But the reality on the ground appears to contradict that. It's even got to the point where some rights groups like Norwegian Refugee Council have said this could amount to forcible transfer, which is a war crime. So people have been moved from the north down to the south. A lot of them came into Rafah seeking shelter. They're now having to move northwest of the eastern parts of Rafah into areas where there's very little infrastructure or the areas which are heavily bombed, and with the bombardment continuing. So, the question is, what next? Because a lot of the families I'm speaking to are saying they just have nowhere to go. There's nowhere safe. They don't know what to do. Food supplies are running low. Prices are soaring. And they are essentially, running from A to B, carrying tents, wondering what to do with their children.
We had a contributor on the programme last night, Bel, who denied that over 30,000 people have been killed by the Israeli forces in Gaza, suggesting that that is merely Hamas propaganda. Has that number been independently verified? Has the loss of life been on that scale?
So, unfortunately, we do not have access to Gaza in terms of Israel is only allowing it's not allowing foreign correspondents in, and it's very difficult to get an independently verified number of the dead in the terms of the fact that humanitarian aid organizations don't have access to the entire strip. But I will say, in the past, in previous wars, the fourth war that I've covered, the death toll that has been announced by the Palestinian health authorities and also by the Israeli military have often been pretty the same, including the death toll that's announced by the UN. Where the discrepancies have been is about the number of civilians versus number of militants. And so, there is nothing to say that these numbers couldn't be right. There's no way of independently verifying them beyond that. Israel has this war decided not to release its own numbers. I've asked the military personally many, many times what their estimated death toll is. So at the moment, UN, for example, agencies and humanitarian agencies are going with the number that the Palestinian health authorities are putting out.
Joe Biden's efforts to broker a ceasefire have failed notably on not many occasions over the last couple of months. Given that he had told Israel not to do what it is doing now, will the United States stop sending ammunition and bombs to Israel for use?
Well, we've literally just had in the last few hours reporting that Washington has in fact paused a shipment of bombs that they believe could be used in the Rafah offensive. And I use the word paused carefully because it doesn't mean that it's being cancelled. But according to reports, they consist of 1,800 bombs weighing around 2,000 pounds each and 1,700 lighter 500-pound bombs. The US Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin told the Senate hearing on Wednesday that, and I'm going to quote him directly, "We've been very clear from the very beginning that Israel shouldn't launch a major attack into Rafah without accounting for and protecting the civilians that are in that battle space. And again, as we have assessed the situation, we have paused one shipment of high payload munitions." So there does appear to be some action from the US side, but many would say that is way too late. The death toll is already, you know, unprecedented in terms of the number of people being killed in a short period of time, and also in terms of the numbers of civilians, aid workers, journalists and children. So the pressure is definitely mounting on Israel, and the US is, you know, it's expressed on multiple occasions that a Rafah offensive is a red line. They want a ceasefire signed now.
What will it take to get Israel to stop?
Well, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has described the taking of the Rafah crossing as a significant step in its efforts to destroy Hamas militarily. They have said that Hamas was operating from the crossing point, and that Rafah itself is the last stronghold of militants and is where dozens of hostages are being held. So for them, this may be their sort of final point of their offensive, but it's also, of course, where 1.4 million people are sheltering, and most of them are displaced, and there's really nowhere to go. So the question is, what will it take for them to sign a ceasefire? There is growing international pressure, as I've mentioned, with the US even pausing some shipments of bombs. There's also growing domestic pressure. I've been talking to families of the hostages who've been in the streets in Tel Aviv calling for their government to sign any hostage exchange deal. They are incredibly worried that their loved ones may not be alive because they are also in Gaza. And of course, there's pressure from the humanitarian community, as the UN has said that any kind of full-scale incursion into Rafah would be, and I quote, a bloodbath. So really the ball is in the court of the Israeli government right now. There are talks ongoing in Cairo and everyone is holding their breath, specifically the families in Rafah, hoping that a truce might be signed in the coming days and hopefully even in the coming hours. But unfortunately, the outlook is looking a bit bleak.
Belle True from The Independent. Thank you for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.